Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC, and there is a lot to get to today on Sports Grid Radio and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. You might hear me say a lot to get to in early June, the opening week of the final month without an NFL game, including preseason affairs until March 2026. What is this guy even talking about? Where voluntary OTAs continue around the National Football League. So when you have guys, Scott, on the practice field and in the facilities, you get to hear from them. It's who is there, who is working out, who is practicing, and what it all means. And sometimes the story can often be about the people who are not working out on the practice field at that given time. So a lot to discuss here around Football Full Circle on this Wednesday.
Yeah, coaches speak for the first time. We get reactions to moves that are made, whether it was Baltimore with Justin Tucker, whether it's the Seattle Seagirls, as I like to call them, with their quarterback situation. I'm still curious to hear from the Pittsburgh Steelers on what their quarterback situation is going to look like. But it is a good time after having about a month or so off in between the draft and everything. And even then, you're really not talking about the team as far as the current players. So this is actually a pretty good, welcome back to the NFL. Season has begun, even though it's only OTAs.
Indeed it is, Scott. Organized team activities, voluntary in many of the spots, and yet you want to see your favorite stars and the best players in that organization out there. We'll talk about all of that in the updates that we got from OTAs yesterday. Scott, speaking of those Seattle Seahawks, of course, with the offseason acquisition of Sam Darnold, now is a new starting quarterback. I'm not exactly sure where the idea even was sprouted that Sam Darnold would not be QB number one, the starter in Seattle for Mike McDonald in his second year as the head coach of the Seahawks. But Mike McDonald on a radio affiliate in Seattle yesterday was asked about the idea that other than a catastrophic injury, is there any chance that a fully healthy Sam Darnold is not QB one for Seattle in 2025? And McDonald basically said, you guys are crazy for even asking the question. Sam Darnold is our starting quarterback. And Scott, that itself is the headline that Mike McDonald scoffed at the very notion that Sam Darnold might not be the starting QB for the Seahawks in 2025 after being the big prized free agency offseason acquisition at the quarterback spot. Again, I'm not sure if there was some scuttlebutt or some speculation or some rumblings that I may have missed that Sam Darnold was in danger of a quarterback battle in the Northwest this offseason. I kind of agree with Mike McDonald. Like, what is that question even about?
Yeah, I don't think he handled it the right way, though. I mean, scoffing at the notion and calling the two hosts on a radio station basically bird brains for even suggesting. I mean, they didn't suggest it. They asked a question. You know, you and I have been in a lot of locker rooms, and sometimes these guys, Ben, who are asked the question, take it out of context. It's only a question. I'm not telling you that it should be a quarterback competition. I just want your answer. Maybe, who knows? Maybe you'll say something stupid and say, yes, it is. Maybe, you know, a lot of coaches will say, no, jobs are secure. Tom Brady had to fight for his starting job every single year with the Bill Belichick. I mean, so I'm not telling you there should be one. I'm just asking you. And yet sometimes those subjects take it as an insinuation where maybe it's not. But that said, now the guy threw a couple of interceptions. Who cares? 7-on-7s, right? It's June. Who cares? And that's what led to the question. But we've been down this road before with Seattle. You want to go back to the Russell Wilson days. They signed Matt Flynn, give him a decent-sized contract. They draft Russell Wilson. And who ends up being a starter? Russell Wilson. They spent, what, a third-round pick on Jalen Milroe? I mean, you know, again, we've seen this before with the Atlanta Falcons just last year. You bring in Kirk Cousins, you give him all this money, then use a first-round pick on Michael Penix Jr. Now, this wasn't a third-rounder, but it does, to me, indicate, like, okay, if you're really, really, really sold on Sam Darnold, why would you be using a third-round pick on a backup player? So, it, you know, some of the things they have to be held accountable for Seattle, that leads people to suggest, okay, maybe there is a quarterback competition.
Yeah, you know, Scott, it is a fair point, right? In terms of the assessment and the context for it, I think that context necessary. Like you said, it's not on the radio hosts that are saying, hey, Mike, we're a better head coach than you. You should not start Sam Darnold because of some inefficiencies in OTAs. I just basically presumed, and I think everybody has, that when you sign a three-year, $100.5 million deal, $33.5 annually, $55 million guaranteed, that Sam Darnold, even if we question the ceiling that he can elevate an NFL organization to, is that settled-in starting quarterback from the very start of his tenure in Seattle. But you bring up a good point about Jalen Milroe, pick number 92 in the 2025 NFL draft, midway through that third round. It's an interesting thing, right? A third round selection late in day number two. There is certainly some optimism, Scott. It's not just a sixth or seventh rounder late in day three that, hey, if this guy turns in to be a career backup and is in the organization for 3-4 years, maybe into a second contract, fantastic. We hit a diamond in the rough. When you're drafted on day two in round three, that's kind of the last time an NFL organization thinks that maybe, just maybe, there's an outside chance this guy could compete for a starting job at some point during his rookie deal. Jalen Milroe is an interesting case study in that very notion. Because I think, Scott, when he was selected, the first question everybody asked, okay, how is Seattle going to incorporate him? How is new OC Clint Kubiak, after a decent year in New Orleans the year prior, planning on utilizing the freakish athlete that is Jalen Milroe? Probably not polished as your starting quarterback in the National Football League, but could we see Milroe right away in some different packages, utilizing that athleticism and, of course, his running ability? So I think that does give a little bit of credence into the notion that Sam Darnold might be the starter, but we could see Jalen Milroe in actual game action from the very start of his NFL career.
Yeah, and what this also tells you, Ben, is that if they're bringing this up June 2nd, which I believe the interview was yesterday, then we're going to be living with this. If you're a Seattle fan, you're going to be living this with June, July, August, and more importantly, September, if Sam Darnold doesn't get off to a good start, right? If they're wondering about who the starting quarterback is first week of June, then the leash for Sam Darnold with the Seattle fans anyway, I'm not saying about the head coaches and the coaching staff, but with the Seattle fans, especially if Milroe shows a little something in the preseason, like a lot of these backup quarterbacks do. I mean, there's a ton of quarterbacks that look, wow, they look great in the preseason, and it gives you a false premise on how good they may or may not be in the NFL in regular season. So if they're questioning about Darnold now, I mean, I can't help but think they're going to be questioning about him, you know, this whole first year. Unless he gets off to a start like he had last year against with Minnesota.
And that is the question, right, Scott? There was some conversation during 2024 and the Vikings winning 14 games that Might the Vikings look at Sam Darnold as their QB of the future despite drafting J.J. McCarthy top 10 the year prior, or at least that April prior, entering 2024? They were invested in the rookie. Had Sam Darnold's performance and having a career-best year under the offensive mind that is Kevin O'Connell changed that assessment? Obviously, Sam Darnold stumbled on the biggest stages of the year. Regular season finale against Detroit, coughing up a chance to win the NFC North, falling into a wild card spot, and then even as a slight road favorite, but neutral site favorite against the Rams, looked awful in that game against LA to start off the postseason, basically quelling the idea that Sammy D could be the starting quarterback in Minnesota or even compete for the job with J.J. McCarthy. And thus, he hit the free agent waters, got himself a pretty rich deal with Seattle. Scott, we'll talk more about the Seahawks and your outlook on the Hawks entering 2025. The win total is 7.5 for Mike McDonald and his team entering year number two. The over has the slight bit of juice at minus 135. Seattle was the only team around the National Football League a year ago to win double-digit games, that being 10, and miss out on the postseason. We'll talk about what Seattle can expect for 2025, more than likely with a new starting quarterback under center in Sam Darnold on the other side of the break here on Football Full Circle. We're just getting going on Sports Grid Radio. Come back and join us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
If you're an RIA or looking to become one, Schwab Advisor Services is the Watson to your homes. Smart, dependable, always has your back. It's no mystery why they're the number one choice for RIAs who want to be the ultimate solution for their clients. With all the wealth services, technology, and support your firm needs, the difference is so obvious, it's Schwabvious. Follow the clues at schwabvious.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
So as we shared right before the break, the win total for the Seattle Seahawks entering the 2025 NFL campaign stands at 7.5. The over has the juice. It's minus 135. The Seahawks had the unfortunate distinction, Scott, a season ago to be the only team to win 10 games around the National Football League and not make the postseason. That's 15 of 32 teams winning double-digit games. The Seahawks, the only one to get to 10 and miss out on the playoffs. In the rookie head coaching season for the new head man in the Northwest, taking over for Pete Carroll, that was Mike McDonald. 7.5 the win total, Scott, for Seattle in 2025 with a new starter at quarterback in Sam Darnold. What's your outlook on the Seahawks for this upcoming season?
I'm not optimistic. I'm just not a Sam Darnold fan. Give him credit for what he did last year. No two ways about it. And I'll even, you know, give you the benefit of the doubt that, you know, he had all these weapons and everything else. And you can have a ton of weapons, but that doesn't mean you're going to be good. If you're a bad quarterback, you're a bad quarterback. So I'll give him credit for more than just being with the Minnesota Viking weapons. But I got to see it to believe it, Ben. You know, they took away all his wide receivers for the most part. The running game is not too bad. Defense, okay. Offensive line is what it is. But more important, I just got to see him do it again. Even 8 wins, which is still under 500, 8-9.
Right.
One less home game for the NFC this year. Division's not over the top difficult, right? With San Francisco, I don't know what you're really going to get out of them. Rams should be halfway decent, but it's not like the NFC North or the AFC North, we'll say. Right. They should be able to go 3-3. I would think that would be their goal. And the schedule's not very difficult. You know, we talked about Darnold getting off to a good start. They do open up with San Francisco and at Pittsburgh, but then it eases up the next 3-4 games, Arizona, Jacksonville at home, you know, all winnable games. So But ultimately, I think the cream rises to the crop, and the bad teams are the bad teams, and I don't see this team being an 8-9 football team. I would go under with them.
You know, Scott, it is a fair point, right? Even over the win total, slightly successful for the betting component, more than likely not going to see the postseason. The NFC West is not the gauntlet we believe the NFC North is, or perhaps the AFC North. But the basement of it, Scott, the cellar, the floor of the NFC West, not super deep when you look at it. Seattle actually has the lowest win total of any of the four teams. It is that 7.5, and the over has the juice. The more likely indication when the over has the juice is that Seattle is an 8-9 football team. Arizona's win total, 8.5, slight juice on the under. Both the Rams and the Niners expected to be double-digit win teams, anticipated to both make the postseason. So not exactly the easiest division just to roll through. It's been an interesting offseason for Seattle, where they have some big changes, of course. They let go of Geno Smith. They trade him to Las Vegas. They trade away DK Metcalf to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They get rid of Tyler Lockett as well. Some staples of this franchise offensively, certainly the last 2 to 3 years and even beyond for Metcalf and Lockett. But they bring in Cooper Kupp. We'll see what tread he still has left on the tires. They bring in DeMarcus Lawrence, who was not really healthy on the defensive line of the Cowboys and is 33, but at his peak, still a pretty fearsome defender in the NFL. Of course, they sign Sam Darnold. It almost seems to me, Scott, Seattle's in this weird middle ground where they are making some moves to focus on the future, but also still brought in some players that you would expect to win games right away. I feel like 8 wins is fair for Seattle, but again, just getting over that win total by no means guarantees a playoff spot in the NFC.
Yeah. It doesn't mean that Sam Darnold's going to be your quarterback next year. You know, that's right. I asked this question to a bunch of teams and fan bases. You know, New York Jets. Justin Fields is going to be this, that. Okay, is Justin Fields going to be your quarterback next year? You know, if you tell me no, then you can't tell me he's going to be the be-all, end-all this year. Is Sam Darnold going to be the Seattle Seahawks quarterback next year? If you're like, well, you know, maybe Milroe, you know, then you can't tell me that he's going to be that successful this year. If you want to commit a second year to a quarterback, it is kind of weird, right? Because he comes in after being in the postseason with Minnesota, successful year. The team Seattle, though, is in a kind of transitional year. You do bring some veterans in here to maybe appease him. It's kind of a weird, with 9-8, let's say they go over their number. They get to 9-8 but not make the playoffs. Does that mean it's going to be Sam Darnold again next year? Or do you pull the plug and say, okay, we're going to see what we have with Milroe? It's kind of a weird spot with Seattle right now.
It's a good point, Scott. 3-year, $100.5 million deal, of course, for Sam Darnold. The idea would be he's going to be in the Northwest for some time, but $55 million of that guaranteed when over half of the money owed to him has already been paid. We'll see about dead cap hits and such, but if it is not a success in Seattle for Sam Darnold, could there be differing moves in 2026? Just to drive home the point that even Seattle could go over the win total or even get to 9-8, the Seahawks playoff price, Scott, is +176. It is the fourth longest of any team in the NFC. Only the Panthers, Saints, and Giants have a steeper price to get into the postseason than that of the Seahawks.
That's very telling, right? But I got to tell you, their schedule is not, that difficult. It really isn't. We talked about it. Okay, you open up with San Fran and Pittsburgh, and, somehow San Fran's at home. You want to be at least 1-1. Then New Orleans, because they got the NFC South. So you got all those bad NFC South teams that are all winnable games. You might not win them all, but when you look at the schedule, you got Houston at home, though. You got Tennessee on there, Minnesota, but at home, Indianapolis is on there. I mean, there's no Philadelphia, there's no Detroit, there's no Baltimore, there's no Buffalo, there's no Kansas City. You take the top 6-7 best teams, no Philadelphia, none of them are on the Seattle schedule. Arizona's in a similar plight. I think both Arizona and Seattle, they may have false premise years in that, they may get to 9 or they may even get to 10. But it's because their schedule's a joke. And then the next year, when they have a tougher schedule, reality sets in and they prove out that 2025 was really just, the benefit of an easy schedule.
Based on those projected win total of the 17 opponents, Seattle's schedule ranks 13th out of 32 in the NFL. Not necessarily one of the 5 or 10 easiest, but of course better to be in the top half than in the bottom half in terms of strength of schedule and how difficult it might be for 2025. We'll talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers on the other side of the break. Some more moves being made by Pittsburgh for pass catchers, but not the guy throwing the football. What's happening in the Steel City next?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
If you're an RIA, Schwab Advisor Services is the Watson to your homes. Smart, dependable, always has your back. With all the wealth services, technology, and support your firm needs, the difference is so obvious, it's Schwabvious. Follow the clues at Schwabvious.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, continuing reports out of OTAs this week around the NFL. Over the weekend, Scott, there started to be a little bit of conversation that the Pittsburgh Steelers were interested, although not fully invested, in potential trade talks with the Miami Dolphins for Pro Bowl tight end Jonnu Smith, who was the only Pro Bowler last season for the Finns in 2024. But it really seemed as though the Steelers might have made some inquiries, but that was pretty much it. Well, yesterday, some difficult news for the depth of that tight end room in Pittsburgh. Donald Parham Jr., one of the reserve tight ends behind Pat Freiermuth of the Steelers, tore his Achilles during the OTA practice on Tuesday afternoon, which led to an Adam Schefter report. The Steelers were back in, trying to re-involve themselves in those conversations and negotiations to trade for Jonnu Smith of Miami, which, Scott, is all well and good. You could understand why they would want to do so. Even with Freiermuth in-house, you could have a potential lethal tight end in Jonnu Smith. But it's the same thing that we have discussed numerous times this offseason. You trade for DK Metcalf, you trade away George Pickens, and yet the one thing you really haven't done is build out your quarterback depth, except for the reacquisition of Mason Rudolph, where, Scott, we are still waiting, it would seem, on the elephant in the room. That would be the signing at some point of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, so many facets to this story. Let me start with my beloved Miami Dolphins, right? I don't know why they would be willing to trade the guy. He led the team in receptions, not Ty Hill. He did. I mean, he's coming off a phenomenal year. And he wants more money. He's only making about $4 million. That's the norm. That's the NFL. It's only a 2-year contract anyway. It's not like they got the guy locked in for 5 more years and they're like, no, we got you good for the next 4 or 5 years. He's only under contract for 1 more year. So why wouldn't you give him a new contract? Why would you be willing to get rid of this guy? Makes no sense. They're tearing the team down. It's very sad. From Pittsburgh standpoint, okay, he's got the connection with Arthur Smith. But I'll make the case that, well, he had his best year without Arthur Smith. You know, he didn't have great years when he was with Arthur Smith. He had his best season without him. So, but again, you want to bring him in? It sounds like, Ben, that from what I was reading anyway, I got the idea that, they could work out a trade with Miami. It's, can they sign him to a new contract? They're not going to trade for him unless they know, okay, we're going to come to terms on a new deal because we don't want the Dolphins heading. So that's what it seems like. So maybe that'll open the door a little bit. Is this a way to appease Aaron Rodgers? Giving him one more weapon? Is that why they're doing this? Because they got Freiermuth. I mean, a lot of teams have two really, really good tight ends. I get that. But is that a Aaron Rodgers, hey, look what we're doing for you, like the Jets did, bringing all your guys and bringing in good players? The whole thing seems kind of weird. You're building all these players, but you don't have a quarterback. Strange.
Yeah. Unless you're just so invested in Mason Rudolph that you're trying to build out the most talent around him. But again, Scott, maybe we find that hard to believe. I believe if you even ask Mason Rudolph candidly, he'd say, I know, what I'm probably going to be dealing with at some point throughout this summer. And Scott, it really is a fascinating one, right? Jonnu Smith now seemingly a priority. Can you work out that new deal for Jonnu Smith, who is asking for a new contract in Miami, leading to the idea there is an opening perhaps in trade talks elsewhere and in Pittsburgh? Scott, if I asked you to set an over-under, I could look this up right now, and maybe I will as I toss it back your way, for the exact start day of Steelers training camp. Let's call it July 27th. If I set the over-under, over under July 27th, over being later into July, under being in a more recent fashion, Aaron Rodgers signs with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Are you taking the over or the later, or the under and the sooner?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think it's going to be a while. Does he miss any real training camp? You know, a lot depends on when it is. If it is that late, if it's got to be in that area, right? So
July 23rd, to miss another
23rd, okay.
Yeah.
So let's say he misses another week, and now you're only talking about August. I would say later, even though it'd be tough for Pittsburgh to be holding out that long, because it does get to a point where you got to learn our offense and everything. So, but I you know what? I doubt it. He'll be there opening day. Opening training camp. I would go over.
On the online that I just set up now, with it obviously reformulated for the actual start July 23rd, I would take the over. I would take the later as well. But you do wonder, it's not like they're waiting on this guy to return. This would be, of course, his debut in the Steel City. We'll talk about it more up next and other football news around a certain quarterback in Houston on the other side of the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Quarterback news around OTAs. We'll move on from the Steelers and the eventual, we presume, signing and addition of Aaron Rodgers. It's got an interesting update yesterday out of Texans OTAs down in H-Town. C.J. Stroud is not throwing at practice due to a sore shoulder. Head coach DeMeco Ryans met with the media yesterday, said the Texans are not worried in the slightest. They are being incredibly precautionary in any dealing with their star quarterback in C.J. Stroud, about to enter year number 3. But when DeMeco Ryans was pressed, well, did he have any work done this offseason? Any issue with it throughout the offseason? DeMeco Ryans basically said, guys, like, come on, I get it, whatever, but you're going to have to ask that question to C.J. Stroud. Party line out of the Texans franchise, Scott. They're not worried about C.J. Stroud's shoulder. Are you?
Oh, I would, you know, because you're at the point now where you could have him throw, find an issue, and say, all right, you know what, take the next 2 months off, and we'll still have you ready for plenty of time for the start of the season. I mean, if this was a month before the season, I would be like, okay, don't do anything stupid. Don't risk further injury. Well, like I said, I mean, this is June. He can pull an arm, do whatever he wants, and still be ready by July or August or September. Not a good sign if your quarterback can't throw. I don't care how cautious you are. I mean, if you can't throw in early June, not even late June, why would he defer to the quarterback as far as, you know, did he have any surgery or not? Wouldn't, you know, don't you tell the player, hey, don't say anything. We'll take care of it. Y'all handle the questions. We'll come up with something, whether it's the truth or we'll stretch the truth out. You don't say, well, go ask him, like he had some elective surgery that you weren't happy with. Is that it? Very bizarre. As a Texan fan, if you are, I would not be too thrilled about this. And I'm not going to use this being June as like, okay, they're just being cautious. Because this is the time you want to be aggressive. This is the time you got time on your hand if you want to see him throw.
The Texans opened OTA, Scott, late last week, or May 28th, so at least the middle of last week. They've already had 5 total practices during OTAs, of which C.J. Stroud has not thrown during any of them. Now, he's been there. That's a good sign. He's been executing the offense, at least giving the ball off to his running backs during 11 on 11 as they have been practicing and installing throughout, but he really has not thrown all that much. Again, D'Amico Ryan's saying there's no concerns with CJ. It's just general soreness. We are taking extra precaution with him. He'll be good to go. No concerns on my end, end quote. But again, should we not be concerned? Why exactly is he not throwing at this stage? What allowed to his shoulder being sore? And of course, does that or is that going to be a lingering thing that plagues him throughout 2025? Now, I'm not comparing it directly to Derek Carr and saying it is the same situation. But Scott, when we started to get the weird offseason news with Carr, who missed a bunch of games last year, but due to an oblique and hand injury, was now dealing with a shoulder issue from an AC joint sprain the year prior in 2023 that ultimately led to his retirement. Again, not saying anything is nearly as grave or serious or significant for CJ Stroud. There's no reason to have those offseason headlines. So to have that even be a conversation, to me, the Texans can say anything they want. I am a little bit concerned.
Yeah, you have to be. And now, you know, if you really want to use conjecture, is this the mysterious team that Aaron Rodgers is waiting upon? You know, okay, Houston, you know, would you rather play for the Pittsburgh Steelers having to play Baltimore and Cleveland in the AFC North? Or would you rather face Indianapolis, Jacksonville, and Tennessee? You know, if you remember the Houston Texans, I think I'd sign up for Houston indoors, oh, by the way, as well, right? So is that it? Like, listen, we're going to have this guy sit for a month, and then we're going to really let him loose. And if he has issues, then Aaron will bring you in. The whole thing is very, it is weird. I would be concerned for sure. Like I said, let him throw now and then find out if you have a problem or not. Why is he sore in June if it's not off-season surgery? Did he do that much throwing this off-season on his own? I can't believe that. We're talking about, what, 24, 25-year-old kid? We're not talking about a 30-year-old guy here. So there's definitely more to it than meets the eye. Definitely.
I would say that's a pretty good summation, right? More to it, perhaps, than meets the eye, especially despite D'Amico Ryan's trying to say it's not a big deal whatsoever. We're not worried at all. There does seem to be some worry, at least, when you read between the tea leaves. Now, for Houston, about to enter year three of both the Ryans and Stroud era combined, that, of course, so wildly exceeded expectation during 2023, storming back for the divisional championship, stunning the Cleveland Browns in the postseason. The Texans won the division for a second consecutive year in 2024, beat the Chargers as a home underdog, despite the fact LA was favored for that wild card game. So, Scott, when you look at what happens on paper for Houston, two straight AFC South divisional championships, two playoff wins already under the belt of CJ Stroud entering year three, there should be optimism in Houston. This report, not necessarily optimistic. And the Texans, a plus 115 favorite to win the AFC South, but at this stage last year, a hefty minus money favorite to win the division.
Yeah, I think that's still one of the better plays, unless, you know, we find out there is something wrong with CJ Stroud. And you're looking at David, I mean, their backups are Davis Mills, Graham Mertz, who was awful in college, and the Slovis kid. So there's not that much there. You know, they benefited last year. Most people think they regressed, but in reality, you laid it out there, Ben, perfectly. They didn't. They had a similar record, same record as they did 2 years ago. Won a first-round game, won the division. They didn't progress, but they certainly didn't regress. But expectations-wise, they did. So are they willing to take that next – or not willing, but are they capable of making that next step? Right. You know, getting into Baltimore, the Buffalo, the Kansas City classes of the AFC – or are they going to remain in the, you know, the classes of the, you know, Miami Dolphins and San Diego or LA Chargers? You know, good teams, challenge for a playoff spot, but in reality, not really threatened for a Super Bowl.
9.5 the win total for Houston, a slight bit of juice on the under. What that should say is there's a thought that a team could win the AFC South with a 9-8 record. Neither of our South divisions around the NFL, either AFC or NFC, expected to be overly stout, Scott, where it would require 12, 13 wins, you would think, to be a surefire frontrunner for this divisional crown. Now, all of that being said, The Texans by far have the hardest schedule of any of the four teams within the AFC South. When you look at the three others, the Jags, the Colts, and the Titans, it's got those three teams all ranked in the top 12, the 12 easiest schedules based on projected win total of those 17 opponents. Houston, not just not in the top 12, but in the bottom eight, the eighth most difficult schedule around the National Football League entering 2025. And one thing, Scott, that has stood out to me about Houston, really in either of the 2 years with C.J. Stroud as the starting quarterback, has been the change in narrative, right? They had a win total of 6.5 entering Stroud and D'Amico Ryan's rookie year as quarterback and head coach. They were an underdog a ton early. They were defying the odds as a favorite in the last 2 years under Ryan's, under Stroud, just 7-10-2 against the spread. And now they will be looked at, of course, as the favorite to make it three straight in the AFC South.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, this is the kind of the make or break it, you know, put up or shut up type of season for them.
Yeah.
You can't stay in purgatory and expect people to think, okay, it's been a successful year. You know, now we're the pressure. No pressure year number one. Really no pressure last year. Pressure is this year. You know, you got difficult schedule. You got that San Fran's on there. Baltimore's on there. Kansas City's on there. You got some big boys on that schedule. But if you want to be classified as a big boy, you got to win some of those games. Simple as that.
No doubt. They were kind of the team of the offseason last year. The overwhelming success in year number one under C.J. Stroud. They acquire Stephon Diggs. They have a good offseason on the defensive side of the ball. Then they fell flat of those expectations. Still won a divisional title and a playoff game. More FFC next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Extra value meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Scott, continuing the conversation about the Houston Texans. Again, after a very optimistic 2023 and a highly successful rookie campaign under quarterback C.J. Stroud and head coach D'Amico Ryans, there was a lot of optimism at this stage last year. They trade for Stephon Diggs, who, of course, after only 1 year and 8 games coming to a close because of a knee injury, is now in New England and dealing with his own off-the-field issues at this moment. And although they still won a divisional championship and a home playoff game last year, there's this idea that Houston failed to meet those lofty goals of 2024, being a true conference contender, the like of KC, Buffalo, Baltimore, Cincy, challenging for those spots in an actual conference crown. This year, Scott, the AFC title price on Houston is 13-1. It is tied for the fifth best number alongside two other teams, the Denver Broncos and the LA Chargers, who Houston beat at home in the wild card round last postseason. How do you feel about Houston now? You talked about the bet to win the AFC South. Can the Texans do anything more than that in what seems to be a prove-it year number three?
Yeah, I do like the price plus odds, too. I mean, who's going to win? The Tennessee's not winning, right? Indianapolis, maybe Jacksonville with a new head coach, turn things around. But I think that's actually a halfway decent price. Kind of reminds me, I'll date myself, Ben, and, you know, the old Bum Phillips, you know, the great, great speech after getting beat by the Pittsburgh Steelers for the umpteenth time, you know, telling the fans, you know, last year we approached the door. this year we knocked on the door, or then next year we're going to kick the son of a bitch down, right? One of the all-time great speeches. So that's kind of how the Houston Texans are now, right? 2 years ago, they approached the door. Last year, they knocked on the door. That's why I say this upcoming season is kind of like make or break. And theoretically, you have three more years with C.J. Stroud on his rookie contract. But you know how those things work. You want to sign up to new deals after the fourth year. And then once they hit that fifth year, that sixth year, you know, forget about it. You know, you got to pay him, what, at that point, 50, 60, 70? Who knows what it's going to be like 3 years from now. So the window to be able to go get really, really good players and be able to pay them because your quarterback's making chump change, you know, it's closing on them. They have to do something this year. But ultimately, you know, the odds are good, 13-1. They're going to be in the playoffs. They figure to get a home game. But, you know, ultimately, are they better than Baltimore? Are they better than Kansas City and Mahomes? Are they better than Buffalo? CJ and company would have to make some real, real great strides this season. And I don't see that. It's a tough top three in the AFC. And they're all young. They're all good. Yeah. But I don't think they're in that class just yet, no.
And Scott, it's a great point about C.J. Stroud's rookie deal, right? This is year number three. Again, if the shoulder is not overly concerning and he is fully healthy, we expect him to be the face of the franchise in H-Town for many, many more years to come. After your third year of service in the NFL, you can start contract negotiations. You can rework and find a contract extension at the end of your rookie deal, which I always think financially is a rather smart thing. If you are fully sold, hey, this is the guy forever, because you can pay him a lot of money in the extension. You can balance that out financially over the final 2 years of his rookie contract that he is under. Of course, the extension is after, and you deal with some of the cap hits. You pay him up front. Player, his representation happy. They've got more cash in their bank account, and it works to benefit the franchise as well with some financial flexibility as well. But that's this upcoming season for C.J. Stroud, not before, as he is about to enter year number three. And Scott, for me, the Texans are the favorites and deservedly so in the AFC South. Getting past the divisional round would be a surprise for me where things stand right now at this stage in early June. I think it's funny, Scott, you brought up the Bum Phillips and that speech. Last year, we approached the door. This year, we knocked on it. Next year, we're going to break the whole thing down. When you look at the odds right now in the AFC, that's almost what we're saying here from the early offseason perspective, because both the Ravens and the Bills, it's only 30 cents of difference, but both the Ravens and the Bills have a better price than the Chiefs to win the AFC championship. I have no issue, Scott, with somebody picking Buffalo and Baltimore to finally break down that door and break past Patrick Mahomes when the Bills have failed to do so for the previous 5 years. And, of course, Lamar Jackson has had his fair share of playoff struggles, including that home AFC championship game now 2 years ago against Kansas City. I can understand, Scott, liking one of those two teams to finally do it this year, but priced accordingly so and in front of Kansas City, that's what I take issue with.
Yeah, the only way I would reason that, Ben, is that they think the AFC West is that much more difficult than the AFC East and AFC North. And it might be. You know, I mean, you don't know what you're getting out of Pittsburgh. You know, the ones great AFC North is Cleveland and Pittsburgh and a decent Cincinnati team. And the AFC East, you know, which was halfway decent, but, you know, with Miami falling down, Jets are nothing, New England's nothing. So I think they're taking into account that Buffalo and Baltimore both have a better chance to have a better record than Kansas City. And I'll take Buffalo. The boys in Vegas are saying, I'll take Buffalo at home or Baltimore at home over Kansas City on the road in the playoffs. Even though we saw 2 years ago, you know, KC run the table outside of their opening win against at home against Miami. So they're more than capable. But I think that probably is playing a little role in why they would be favored over Kansas City.
Yeah, there's got to be no doubt, right, Scott? The Bills have the fifth easiest schedule in the National Football League. They actually have the highest win total technically at 11.5 in the AFC East of the previous few years that we have discussed. Aaron Rodgers in New York, Tua Tagovailoa bringing the Dolphins to new heights, is not necessarily that this year. It is the Bills by a long shot, and the Bills have already won this divisional crown five consecutive seasons. Based on playoff positioning, in theory, if the odds are mostly chalk, Buffalo has the better record. Buffalo has home field advantage in favor of KC. Could be the same story for Baltimore. I guess just my issue is, despite having some of those same scenarios the past few years, the Bills have still been unable to vanquish the Dragon, that is Mahomes and the Chiefs, in the playoffs. Same story for the Ravens and Lamar Jackson in direct head-to-head competition in the games in the playoffs that matter most. More FFC on the other side of the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Got some sad news to pass along in the football world. Yesterday, we learned that Vikings legend, NFL legend, and one of the heartbeats of the Purple People Eaters and those legendary defenses from the 60s and 70s in Minneapolis, Jim Marshall, passed away at the age of 87. He was a captain in Minnesota for 14 consecutive seasons. And speaking of streaks, he started 270 consecutive games for the Vikings. That's not something we will see or do see currently in the NFL. Sadly, Jim Marshall passed away yesterday at the age of 87.
Yeah. And the poor guy, though, the Ben, will always be known as the guy that ran the wrong way. You know, which we were talking about it last night in In-Game Live. I'm surprised that really doesn't happen more often. Got a ball, got spun around, and then he ends up running 70 yards or so the wrong way. His teammates are trying to catch him to tell him to turn around. He does it, spikes the ball, thinks he scored a touchdown. Turns out, obviously, to be a safety. And you know, I'll date myself again. You know, when you're talking about the Minnesota Vikings in the 70s and 80s, that was it. You had to bring that play up. And the poor guy had to live with this his whole life. So it's amazing, right? Those were really, really good Minnesota teams. A Dolphin fan, they lost one of their four Super Bowls to Miami, so it's not like I was ever rooting for them. But, man, you look back to Tarkentons and the Chuck Foremans and the Purple People Eaters, you would have liked to have seen them get at least one. And while the scores were like blowouts, they really weren't competitive in any of them, Ben. They really couldn't score. Yeah. They just couldn't move the ball. Going up against the Dolphin defense, the Raider defense shut them down, Steelers defense. And then, you know, Kansas City with the old Hank Stram, you know, matriculate the ball down the field. That was that game. They lost, what, Super Bowl IV, I believe it was. Four, yeah.
Yeah.
So too bad they couldn't get one win. But that was a great, great, great team. Really was. Alan Page and company. It's too bad they couldn't win one time.
Four Super Bowl appearances, Scott, in that span. As you said, Super Bowl IV against the Kansas City Chiefs. They won 12-2 that year, 12-2 in 1973, a Super Bowl appearance. 10-4 the following year, a Super Bowl appearance and coming up short. And then in 1967's NFL season, that fourth bid in the big game falls short as well. 270 consecutive games for a defensive player is crazy. And one of the great nicknames in sports and in NFL history, the Purple People Eaters, to describe a ferocious defense, that's pretty fantastic stuff as well.
Yeah, I mean, and that's not even 16 games. I mean, how many seasons is that to not miss one game? Guys are missing games now with a toe injury or a finger injury or, you know, all legitimate injuries, I imagine. But this guy and those guys played through it all back then. I mean, that really is remarkable, that record.
It wasn't like he was a punter or even a quarterback. He was taking beatings each and every game. So sad news there around the NFL, Jim Marshall passing away at the age of 87. Other news yesterday, Scott, the trade between the Eagles and the Niners official for Bryce Huff, who was dealt by Philadelphia after one disappointing season with the Birds. to San Francisco. He passed his physical yesterday afternoon, making that trade official. In return, we knew the Eagles were going to get some sort of draft compensation. It is a fifth round pick that could be a conditional fourth rounder. Bryce Huff now gets a new start in San Francisco, reuniting with Robert Saleh, who was his head coach during 2023, in which Huff had his best NFL season that led to double digit sacks as well.
Yeah, as you say, he's bounced around the league a bit, but you're right. Yeah, he reunites with Saleh, so maybe he can. You know, he's clearly like a sack guy. You know, if you look at his numbers, he's not making tackles. He's not, you know, you're not going to get 15 tackles out of him. Yeah, you're going to get, you know, maybe 15 sacks for the season, but you probably get about 5 to 10 more tackles the rest of the way. He's clearly just, you know, let me at the you know, the quarterback, which, you know, that, there's a premium for that in the NFL. So hopefully this works out with him.
Scott, what are your thoughts on the San Francisco 49ers? We discussed earlier this week here on FFC with Joe Lisi, after that was the trade news over the weekend for Bryce Huff. There is some odds optimism again. The Niners have a win total of 10.5, but they have a number around the NFC that's around 12-1 right now, behind teams like their divisional mates in the Rams, the Packers, and right in line with the Commanders. Where do you see the 49ers in 2025?
I don't like them, Ben. I really don't. I liked them last year, and there was some buzz. You know, a lot of people saying they thought they were going to come back to the pack, and I didn't see it, but clearly they did. McCaffrey's finally coming off an injury, so he's an injury waiting to happen. Hate the contract they gave out, giving up Deebo Samuel. I think they're in regression. I like their under.
Yeah, they were 6-11 last year because of all of those significant injuries. You would think healthy improvement. But like Scott, I'm going to have to see it to believe it before I bet it and buy in. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. Football Full Circle returns tomorrow, noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.